Welcome to Menachem Begin, His Life, Legacy, and Uniquely Jewish Statesmanship, a limited series podcast brought to you by Tikva and MeirSoloveitchik.com. This special series is sponsored by the Hart N. and Simona Haston Family Foundation in partnership with the Menachem Begin Heritage Center in Jerusalem. The episodes in this study of Prime Minister Begin's remarkable leadership are drawn from Rabbi Soloveitchik's comprehensive, year-long podcast on the history of the most interesting city in the world, Jerusalem 365. Jerusalem 365 is available at MeirSoloveitchik.com. And now, on to Begin. This is episode number 13, Menachem Begin's Greatest Speech.
What was Menachem Begin's greatest speech? There are, of course, many from which to choose, addresses that have been discussed in this series. There are Begin's remarks in 1948, when he emerged from hiding after the Declaration of Independence of the Jewish State. There is Begin's incredible Nobel Peace Prize address, and his incredibly moving words at the Camp David Accord signing at the White House. But the answer to our question, I think, can actually be found not in a prepared ceremonial public address, but rather in words uttered at a political rally in the midst of the frenzy of a re-election campaign. These words embody not only the greatest speech of Begin's life, but also the greatest election speech in the history of Israel, one whose words so sublimely capture the essence of Jewish brotherhood and the meaning of Jerusalem itself. At the beginning of 1981, Menachem Begin was very much behind in the polls. But as the elections approached in June, the gap between his party, known as the Likud, and that of Shimon Peres, known at the time as Hamarach, had narrowed. Begin had built a political coalition that was founded on his connection with the communities of the Edot HaMizrach, Jews that descended from Jewish communities of the Middle East. These Jews were by and large much more traditionally minded than many of the secular Ashkenazim that comprised the central voting base for Peres' HaMarach. At a Tel Aviv rally in support of Shimon Peres, a speech was given by an Ashkenazi celebrity, David Topaz, or Dudu Topaz, a man whose own life took some tragic turns, but who was at the time very famous. Dudu Topaz, in his own remarks, referred to Begin's supporters by utilizing the ethnic slur Chachchachim, which was a way of mocking the accent of some Jews from the Edot HaMizrach. Topaz further slighted the contribution of these Jews to the IDF. Begin, speaking the very next day at the very same site, at a Likud political rally, quoted what Dudu Topaz had said, and then he told the crowd that he wished to emphasize an important fact. Ad hayom lo shamati et hamila chachchachim velo yadati ma perusha. To this day, Begin said, I had never heard the word chachchachim, nor did I know its meaning. So Begin said, and we have to understand why this element of the speech is so important. Begin was an Ashkenazi Jew from one of the most famous Ashkenazic Jewish communities in Eastern Europe, but he was reminding the crowd of his supporters, that his place was with them, not with the elitists that looked down on their fellow Jews. Begin was saying that so important was Jewish fellowship to him, so repugnant was bigotry to him, that he had never even heard this terrible slur. Begin then emphasized to the crowd that when Topaz uttered these words about Jews from the Edot HaMizrach, words which Begin rightly cast as repulsive, the crowd at that rally the night before had cheered. And then Begin said in Hebrew, Achshav ani asaper l'dudu Topaz l'mi hu hitkaven. Now I will tell Dudu Topaz to whom he was referring. And then at this point, in response to Topaz's slights regarding the role of the descendants of the Edot HaMizrach in the IDF, Begin went on to describe the military heroism of various Jews from different parts of the Middle East. And he spoke as well about the heroism of Jews from those communities to whom he had a personal connection. He said, "Bnei Edot HaMizrach hayu lochamim giborim gam b'machteret." The descendants of the Edot HaMizrach were heroic warriors also in the underground. And after listing several different examples, he spoke of two young men by the name of Moshe Barzani and Meir Feinstein. Begin had told their story in his memoir, The Revolt. They were young men sentenced to be executed by the British, and while in prison in Jerusalem, they had sought to have a grenade smuggled into the prison. Their plan was that they would detonate it as the British brought them to the gallows. This was known in the Irgun by a reference to the story of Samson, who prayed to God, Tamut nafshi im plishtim, let me die with the Philistines, before bringing the fortress of the Philistines down on himself and his enemies. Begin described what occurred to Meir Feinstein and Moshe Barzani in his memoir. He wrote, quote, A hand grenade was concealed in an orange. It was constructed in the neighboring cell by fighters who had not been condemned to death and who would have given their lives to save the condemned men. But when the terrible moment came and all hope of saving their lives had gone, there was only one thing they could do, prepare an instrument of death for them and their hangman together. And the two in the condemned cell were waiting. Who knows whether by morning it will not be too late. Until a late hour, the rabbi sat in the death cell. He did not comfort them. They had no need of comfort. They sang psalms. The Lord is with me, I shall not fear. They feared only that they would not be in time. The rabbi knew nothing. He promised them at dawn he would come to them in their last moments before the gallows. They, who in their life had overcome death, tried to dissuade him from his second visit, but the rabbi insisted, and they could not reveal the grim secret of their lives. They did not wait for the executioner to come. They were afraid that the rabbi who would be present might be hurt. So they gave up the idea of dying, quote-unquote, with the Philistines. At the third night watch, they clasped each other in a last brotherly embrace, placed the grenade between their hearts, released the pin, and squeezed. End quote.
The Menachem Begin Heritage Center is the national commemoration project honoring and preserving the legacy of Israel's sixth prime minister. The Begin Center houses a library, archives, research center, educational department, and a full museum. Its mission is to pass on to the next generation the principles of Menachem Begin's values-driven leadership and to provide a space to explore what that means in today's complicated world. Visit the Begin Center in the heart of Jerusalem to experience the life and times of Menachem Begin.
So Begin had written of Barzani and Feinstein in his book, The Revolt. I quote this passage in order to communicate to you how important their story was to him for so many decades. Begin told this whole story at the political rally to the crowd to whom he spoke, emphasizing how these two young men had found fellowship and a bond with each other. And he emphasized that they came from communities that had lived for centuries on different sides of the world. As he put it, Feinstein hayal eich korim lo Ashkenazi. Feinstein was, what do you call it, an Ashkenazi. Barzani haya Sfaradi me'Iraq. Barzani was a Sephardic Jew from Iraq. And then he told their story and concluded, Ashkenazi, Iraqi, Yehudim, Achim, Lochamim. Jews, brothers, warriors, so Begin said, and the crowd responded. Why is this such an incredible address? Avi Shilon reflected as follows, quote, this speech is one of the most fascinating that Begin ever delivered. The inclusion of Israeli tradition, imagery from the underground, a family-oriented tone, grimaces, Begin's ability to appear as a leader who on the one hand had never heard the common parlance, while on the other hand was in touch with the pulse of the public. And Shilon further adds that it is difficult to assess the impact the speech had on the election results. But when the balloting was over 2 days later, on June 30, 1981, it became clear that the leader who only 4 months earlier had sought to appoint a successor had won again, albeit by a narrow victory. The Likud received 48 Knesset seats while HaMaarach received 47. Nevertheless, it enabled Begin to form a coalition. End quote. Shilon's words are important, but I believe there is also another profound reason why this speech is so striking and so inspiring. We have seen before how Jerusalem is meant to embody the bond between Jews, and Begin knew very well that the graves of these two young men, Meir Feinstein and Moshe Barzani, lay side by side on the Mount of Olives, overlooking Jerusalem, overlooking the Temple Mount itself. In the midst of a political speech, even though he was in the process of scoring points against his political opponents, Begin somehow managed to elevate the entire substance of what he was saying by emphasizing what lay at the heart of his worldview, Ahavat Yisrael, love of fellow Jews. And he did so by focusing on something central to his worldview, the belief that in Jewish history we need to remember not only what we owe the leaders of the past, but also the sacrifices of Jews that are not as well known. Thus Begin wrote further in his memoir, quote, it is right that every act performed for the liberation of our people should be recorded and remembered. It is right that everybody who worked in one way or another for the creation of reborn Hebrew strength and for its application in the struggle for liberation should be singled out and remembered. In what we call history, there is considerable injustice. History, especially the chronicles of war and revolt, records the names of a few who stood at the head. But the truth is that often the main work is done by the craftsmen, the rank and file, the unknown soldiers. Let us not reconcile ourselves to this historic injustice. The chronicles of the Hebrew struggle for liberation should be written in their entirety. End quote. Begin incorporated his philosophy of love of the Jewish people and his approach to history and memory into this one moment at a rally In America, we tend to distinguish between great achievements in enduring oratory and clever political speeches. It is the former that is celebrated. Washington's farewell address, Lincoln at Gettysburg. Bacon's remarks are unusual because they are both political in nature, uttered at the height of a competitive election, as well as an example of enduring oratory. That is why even today we recall a speech that, as much as any other by Bacon, recalls the spirit of Jerusalem and the bonds joining an eternal people across the distances of space and throughout the generations. This is Mayor Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.